Praise the Lord. Well, we got a lot to do. This is our kind of Easter Good Friday service because next week we're in house church, and that'll be our Easter celebration. Are you guys away for Sunday too, Aaron?
Yeah. No, just we come home Saturday night, Thursday night, Friday night.
So we encourage you to get together and do a meal, you know, eat turkey, ham, whatever you do on Easter, but do it together as a church group, as a home group, and celebrate the great
communion.
Yep.
Great news of the resurrection, death and resurrection of our Savior, by whom we are freed, without whom no one is freed.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the message of the cross and the message of the empty tomb. We come before you with open hearts to receive what you would have us hear today. God, speak to us. Speak through me. I just surrender. I want your word to go out, not my words. Lord, we just pray for every heart that it would be fertile soil, for the word of God to be planted, that we would leave here transformed, even saved for the first time, knowing you more, loving you more, desiring to live for you more, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been reading through the Bible, and this week I came to the end of the book of Joshua, and this scripture really jumped off the page. How many believe the gospel is preached from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation?
Yep.
This pretty much sums it up. The Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. All came to pass. The Lord gave. It was everything was the Lord's doing.
Right.
He gave land, he gave rest, and he gave them their enemies. Joshua means God saves. God is salvation. The same name as Jesus, which means God saves. He is Yahshua or Yeshua.
Right.
It's the same name. In the Old Testament, we have a picture of Jesus in Joshua, who won for God's people the land, the rest, and defeated their enemies. And so I want to talk about that today as people on this side of the cross and people on this side of the Old Testament, the New Testament, with the reality that our Joshua has secured our inheritance. That's the title if you want to write it down. Our Joshua has secured the inheritance. And I'm going to go backwards from this, and I'm going to deal with first the enemies that have been defeated. Because of the cross and resurrection, Jesus has defeated our enemies for us. And we have been singing about it all morning. And I've listed some enemies here that maybe you don't think about, but I want to reaffirm that they are defeated. And we have the victory.
Good.
Because of Jesus.
Yep.
Okay? Because of our Joshua, who fulfilled his mission to take us into the land he promised. And so I want to start first and foremost with the most obvious and really the main reason Jesus came, to take away the sins of the world. Okay, the first enemy that Jesus defeated was sin at the cross. And I'm going to quote scriptures, I'll give you the reference, and I'll just read them out instead of you turning, unless you want to turn. Romans 6:17. Romans 6 is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, among the other 2,000. Romans 6:17 says, "Thanks be to God that you used to be slaves to sin. You wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness." We were in slavery, in bondage to our sin. It controlled our lives, he said. And because of the cross, we have been set free from that. And if you read Romans 6, he says, sin no longer has mastery over you.
Right, right.
You have been set free. Your new master is Jesus Christ, and now you're a slave to righteousness, so offer your members up as instruments of righteousness for his glory. Okay? So we're set free from sin. It should not have mastery over you. Okay? He came to take away the sins of the world. Take them away. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers them no more, neither should you. Okay? Second thing in Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He defeated death on the cross. He died in our place. He took death and sin upon himself and took it down to hell and put it where it belongs. And he burst out of that grave, rose, risen,
right.
Free, alive, fully alive. And so are we in Christ. Death is defeated. And this is the great message of Easter, as you all know. 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection passage, the second greatest chapter in the Bible with all the others. When the perishable had been clothed, the imperishable, this body, this decaying, worn out, hurting body, limping around, will one day put on a new body. And the mortal will be replaced with immortality. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. It's already a done deal because of Jesus. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The wages of sin is death. And the power of sin is the law. But, Paul says, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So he's defeated sin. He's defeated death. Listen up, people. You keep beating yourself up because you keep doing the same things over and over again. I want you to hear this. Romans 8:1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life, not the Spirit of the law, has set me free from the law of sin and death. Okay? You've been set free from the law. Jesus Christ is your new master. He lives within you. You live by his guidance, not by a rule book. Okay? He put himself in you through the Holy Spirit. So he walks with you and talks with you and tells you how to live your life so that there's no more condemnation. You can't beat yourself up anymore for the things you do. Because your desire is to live for him.
Right.
And if you listen to his voice, he's going to tell you how to live for him.
Yeah.
Every day, every minute of every day. So don't allow condemnation to discourage you and destroy you because it's already taken care of. He set me free. Colossians 2:13. Great passage. I don't know, Paul just keeps repeating the same thing to every church. It's the foundation of our faith, right? When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. While we were dead, we were made alive. That's grace. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Your sin was nailed to the cross. He didn't stop there. He disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Okay? The power that kept you sinning is broken and defeated because of the cross. Okay? That's victory. You don't have to fight sin anymore. You just have to let Jesus live through you and live in his power. Okay? That's the message. It's a great victory. The enemy of sin and death is defeated once and for all.
Yeah.
You convinced?
Yeah.
Yes.
Some of you convinced or not? Are you convinced, Shelley? You're not convinced. You're having a hard time. Receive the truth. Let
That's
the truth
right.
that Jesus Christ, the victorious one, lives inside you.
Amen.
And you are victorious. Don't beat yourself up. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Okay? That's condemnation. There's no condemnation for those in Christ.
Amen.
There's victory. Okay, let me keep going because it gets even still grace. Ephesians 2:4 and following. Because of his great love for us. Does he love us?
Yes.
Amen. How did he demonstrate that?
He died
for us. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our sins or trespasses. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ
yes.
and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Get this, people. This is a tough one. You're not here anymore. You're seated up there.
Yeah.
Okay? When that reality gets in here, guess what you start living out of?
Right, react differently. Yep.
You start living out of the reality that I live in the kingdom of God and the world does not control me anymore. I don't live for this world, I live for him.
Right.
And I have the power to live for him because he's inside of me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And who am I? I'm an overcomer in Christ. Okay? All this is because of Jesus. In Luke 10, Jesus says to his disciples, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. He doesn't say that to his 12 apostles. He says it to the 70 disciples. It's to the disciples. That's us. Okay? We're not a special elite group that have power over Satan. He says it to all the disciples to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Okay? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, Isaiah said. Right? This is the truth. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, you know this section really well. It's the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So we have an enemy. He still wants to take us down, but we've already won. We already have the power to defeat him. That's what it's saying. Right? This is the first thing. The Lord gave Israel victory over their enemies. If you look at this passage, what's the only thing he repeats twice? The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Now, and he says, he swore to their fathers, and no one of all their enemies stood before them. Enemies is repeated twice. Why is it repeated twice? Because that's where the battle is.
Yeah.
Not receiving our identity and our truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that our Joshua, our victorious Savior, has defeated the enemy. And because he's in us, we have power over the enemy. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Yep.
That's where the enemy is. And I don't live in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not of the world.
Yep.
I can say no to the things of the world.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we need, this is where faith comes in, we need to choose to be strong in the Lord, and you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And all we have to do is put on the full armor of God, which you read in Ephesians 6. It's just really believing that what is listed there is already mine.
Okay?
It's already mine. Every morning I can put it on. Mm-hmm. And I can stand against the enemy. The enemy has no hold on me unless I give him an open door. But I have to open that door and not live in the power that Christ has given me. And you know, I could go on and on. There's hundreds of scriptures, but I could talk about Mark 16, where he says, okay, if you believe in my name, you're going to do this. If you believe me by faith, if you believe me, you're going to cast out demons, you're going to heal the sick, you're going to raise the dead. You're going to do these crazy things that the kingdom of God wants to do because I'm the king and I'm inside you. Okay? That's the truth. That's the truth of the Easter and Good Friday message.
Yeah.
That Jesus Christ is alive, he lives in me, and because of that, I have life. And I am an overcomer. James 4:7. These are just famous scriptures. I wrote them down because it all talk about defeating our enemies. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. He will flee. Oh, did you hear that? Resist the devil and what?
He will flee.
That guy's afraid of you. If you submit yourself to God.
Right, right.
Satan's afraid of you.
Yep.
If you're walking in the power of Christ, he will flee. If you're walking in the flesh in your own power, then guess what? That's an open door for him, an invitation for him to come into your life. So choose to allow the Spirit of God to lead you and walk with Jesus. Romans 8:31. I'll just read this. Phenomenal stuff. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against? Good question. Who can be against? What's the answer? He doesn't even have to say it.
Yeah.
Because the answer is so obvious. No one. If God's on your side, nobody can be again. He's God. He can do anything. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Now get ready for this truth. Another blatant, loud, shouting truth. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Is that, that's victory, friends. That's victory. That's conquering. Okay? That's what he wants us to get. And if you read that whole passage, it's like this promises, the Spirit of God has promised us that we're heading to heaven. Okay? He's already bought it and paid for it and sealed us in it. that the victory is ours, that we're more than conquerors, that we're going to get there. And we need to hang on to that truth. Okay? And here's the reality. We're already seated there, he says in Ephesians. Mm-hmm. We're already there.
Yeah.
And one day, that truth is going to line up with our physical reality as he comes back and gives us a new body and takes us up to be with him. That's what we're waiting for.
Yeah.
It could happen any day now. You believe that?
Yep.
You believe he's defeated all the enemies that will ever give
yes.
you a problem. Here's something. I don't know if I wrote it in this section or not, but here's the biggest enemy. Believing the truth of God's word.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Doubt.
Do you know what happened with the Israelites? Because this is Joshua has taken them. Moses has died. He spent 40 years in the wilderness. Moses was not allowed to go into the wilderness or into the desert, into
promised
the
land.
Promised land, because he was disobedient to God. So Joshua takes over from Moses and takes him into the promised land, into the land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, and they have to fight their way in. But for 40 years, they were disobedient. And they kept whining and complaining every time it got hard.
Yeah.
We want to go back to Egypt. The food's better. Our shoes don't wear out. Like, it's just nonstop, right? It's just whine, complain, complain. And when we do that, we say, God, you're not evil. You're not good enough. Your plan's not good enough.
Right.
I got a better plan. Going back is better than going with you. And that whole generation died on. Except for who? Joshua and Caleb. Two people. When he sent them into the land that God was taking them to check out how beautiful it was. And they come back with these amazing grapes and everything. It's like 12 spies? 10 of them said, they're giants in the land. They're really big. There's no way we can take that land. And so their unbelief,
yep.
lack of faith,
yep.
caused them to wander for 40 years. And that whole generation that left Egypt died off, except for two individuals. And Joshua and Caleb get to go into the promised land with this whole new group of people. Now, this is the reality, friends. The message is, you have to believe what God says and that he's
yeah.
able to do what he says he can do.
Yes.
Okay? That's Hebrews chapter 11. You've got to believe it. These scriptures are about you overcoming and having the victory and all the stuff that he's already done, right? If you read Romans 8, the greatest chapter in the Bible, next to the other 2,000, it's like he's already, you know, sanctified us and glorified us. He's already justified. He's already done all this stuff. He's done everything that he needs to do. And glorified is past tense, which means we're already there.
Mm-hmm.
And in Ephesians, it declares we're already there. We're seated with him. So our brain needs to catch up to what's actually happened so that we start believing. Satan's already defeated. I'm already on my way to heaven. When you get that revelation, you'll start living like your heavenly being. And you can do heavenly things. And you're already in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is already a king. I can go on and on and on. But let's go to the second one, because I'm going backwards. So he's defeated enemies. The Lord gave. It's the Lord who does it, right? Did we do any of this? Did any of the enemies I've mentioned, sin, death, and the rest, have we done anything to defeat those? God has done it all. The Lord gave our enemies into our hands. The Lord gave them rest. This is something we need to really understand, I think. But it is a now rest and it's a future rest.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start. We're talking about Jesus. How is Jesus, our Joshua, giving us rest? Okay, number one, he says, come to me. Matthew 11:28. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Twice he says, rest is with me. I'm the way to get rest. Come with me, follow me. Okay? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is he talking about there? It's there's only one way to get rest. The world is trying to get to heaven without Jesus. Okay? That's what every single religion on planet Earth teaches. We can get to heaven ourselves. But it's all done through works. And Judaism at the time of Christ was filled with You read your Bible, and it's like Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, and they're all saying, you must obey, you must do this, you must do that. And they added all these rules to their religion in order to get people to supposedly be obedient enough to go to heaven. Now, there's a wonderful chapter in the book of Matthew, chapter 23. And in there, he just had enough of the Pharisees and Sadducees always preaching against him and wanting to trap him in his preaching. And so he finally lets them have it. And he just goes, "You brood of vipers." And he says this amazing thing in chapter 23, verse 4. He says, "You lay heavy burdens. You make it impossible for people to get to heaven. Because you just keep heaping these things that they can't do, and you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Your works, your wrestling, your striving will never get you to heaven.
That's right.
You must trust in this. The Lord gave. The Lord gave salvation. The Lord gives me rest. There's only rest in one person." And so, friends, listen. Don't be like the rest of the world that doesn't know Jesus, trying to get to God or to heaven in their own strength, because that will just lead to striving and striving and work and work. And what Jesus is saying here is, if you come to me, your work will stop and you'll enter into the rest. The burdens that these religious leaders are putting on you to get to heaven yourself will come off. The only one way to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way.
Right?
He's the only way. Trust him. Let him give you the life that you're looking for, the rest. And so, this is a beautiful passage. You know, come to me and all your weary and heavy. If you're weary and heavy, if you think Christianity is just about a whole bunch of do's and don'ts, you don't know what Christianity is about.
That's right. You don't know Jesus.
You need to talk to somebody. Or you need to read your Bible. Because it's all grace. Okay? It's all grace. I'll just throw one scripture in here. 1 John 5:3. Say, the Bible says we still need faith and we need to obey. The Israelites didn't make it to the promised land because they didn't believe what God said and they didn't obey what God said. But listen to what 1 John 5:3 said. "This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome."
That's right.
Yeah.
They're not a heavy yoke. They're not a heavy burden.
That's great.
It's a joy relationship, a love relationship, to allow the Father who saved you out of your depravity and your death and your sin to take you to be with him as you follow his rules for getting to where he's taking you. It's a joy, it's a love relationship that gets you to heaven. Okay? If you love God, you will obey him. So the classic rest passage is found in Hebrews chapter 4. Here's Hebrews 4:1. "Therefore, since the promises of entering his rest still stand, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short. For we also had the gospel preached to us just as they did." He's talking about the Israelites. "But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith." We have to believe the promise and the message, the good news of the gospel, that it's by grace you're saved through faith. It's a free gift. All you have to do is believe it and receive it, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Okay? That's the message. But somewhere inside of us, you see, this is where the condemnation comes from. I gotta do the right thing. I gotta make the right choice. And it just keeps heaping on us condemnation because we can never seem to do the right choice. It's all us. It's all flesh. Okay? The Christian life is about letting Jesus live through you. Okay? Experiencing his joy and his peace as he lives his life through. And it says in verse 3, "Now we who have believed enter that rest." How did we enter that rest? By believing. Do you really believe? This is the message. Do you really believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a gospel of grace and free gift? Hebrews 4:8, listen to this. This ties right in. He's talking about the Old Testament saints not being able to enter the rest. Okay? "If Joshua had given them rest," verse 8, Hebrews 4, "God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his." He's mixing a whole bunch of images and allegories here. And he says this, let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest. It's a battle to let go of our own, the belief that we need to do something to get into heaven. It's a battle. That's where the battle is. The striving is to, you just constantly want to do something. It doesn't even make sense that I don't have to do anything to get to heaven.
Yeah.
Does it make sense? No, it's a free gift. That's the Lord great. Gave.
Yeah.
Friends, that's the message the Lord gave. He gave Jesus so we could get there with him.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't know how to get this in us. I don't. You just got to receive it. You just got to allow
humility.
The Lord to plant it in your heart. Okay? Let us make every effort to enter the rest so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience. If you believe you have to, you know, do the golden calf, and you have to set up your own altar and keep offering your own sacrifices and keep going to church, you know, six times a week and doing, think of the Jewish system.
Yeah.
It's all vicarious through a priest.
Right.
And you got to bring the right animal, and it can't have a blemish, you can't have this on it or anything. You have to offer it at the right time. And we watched the last 40 minutes of the Ten Commandments is on last night. I just like, oh God, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Could you imagine having to offer that blood, find the perfect lamb and paint it over the doorpost and being let out and there's an army chasing you and, oh no, is he going to part the sea or what? And here we are, we're all afraid and the army's right behind us and poof, the sea goes and we walk through and then we get to the other side, and Moses goes up the mountain. We hear thunder and lightning. And he's up there getting the law, and now he comes back with his law. We got to obey this, all this book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And oh my goodness, God, shoot me now. That's not the Christian life.
Right.
There's no way you could live that.
Right.
Okay? There's no way. There's only one way. Jesus lives it for you. And he paid all the penalty of ever breaking those first five books of the Bible. He paid for that on the cross. Mm-hmm. But that didn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
He rose to new life. You know what the resurrection really is about? God accepted his sacrifice, his
yes.
payment for our sins.
Yes.
Okay,
once
yeah, I'm going to raise you up. I see that. You satisfied my wrath,
mm-hmm.
which I was going to pour out on all these sinners. But you took it in their place.
Amen.
And I see that. And now I'm raising you from the dead. And not only, he didn't stop there. He could have stopped there too.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come down. I'm going to indwell these people so they can live for me. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
When the counselor comes, he's just like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll actually be me because we're one.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be with you always. How will he be with me always? Through the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, friends, this gospel is so incredible. He could have said, well, Jesus died for your sins, now stop sinning.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm going to come down, and I'm going to give you the power to stop sinning and live for me, because
mm-hmm.
I'm going to live my life through you.
Mm-hmm.
So the sooner you do as Paul says, no longer me that live, it's Christ that lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of
yeah.
God. The sooner you do that,
mm-hmm.
the sooner you say, I'm dead, there's nothing. Friends, listen, this world, if you look at the news, it's garbage. It's on its way to hell.
Oh, yeah.
Who cares? I'm not part of this world. I'm already sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know what the sealing of the Holy Spirit? It's the guarantee that I'm on my way up.
Right. Yes.
That's what the Bible says. Ephesians 4. Ephesians
yes.
chapter 1.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm headed.
Yes.
I'm heaven bound. Which is where we're going next. God gave you the rest. God defeated your enemies. And he promised to give you the land. Okay. God did it. It's a promise. Look at that last. Just as a sign, the Lord has made to the house of Israel, the Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made of the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Not one. When did he make those? He gave that to Abraham when he first called him. I'm going to show you a land. That's where I'm taking you. All your descendants after you. I'm taking you there. I'm taking you there.
Mm-hmm.
Was it dependent on them? I mean, they were messing up over and over and over again. Well, we can't have a child. Let's take matters in our own hand. I'll sleep with my maidservant, and I'll give a child to God.
Yeah.
No. The Lord has to do it. The Lord has to do it. We cannot do it ourselves.
No.
Okay? That's the message. Get nothing else. You can't get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. So he gives us his land. That's the promise. Hebrews 11:6. Let's stay in Hebrews. It's a fascinating book. You should read it sometime. It's the whole Old Testament and New Testament mashed together into one message. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any simpler than this. And even, he's probably Jewish because he knows the Jewish system really well. He says, the sacrifices, the number of bulls and goats and lambs they offer was unbelievable. Like, that's the tone coming through. And he says, finally, he says, the blood of bulls and goats could never pay for your sins. Had to do it once and for all. The perfect Lamb of God had to come. Okay? And it's done, friends. It's done. All you need to do is say, I believe and I receive.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11:16. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This taking them into the land is just a foreshadow of God taking us into our land.
Yes.
Our promised land. Okay? This whole message, the whole story of the Israelites being in bondage and then having a Savior, a Deliverer, come and free them and release them into the promised land. It's just a picture of what Jesus does for us. That's why his name is Joshua. Means God saves. Okay, in the middle of the Bible is the book of Isaiah. Isaiah means God saves. And then it's Jesus. God has saved. Okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
You just need to fall on your knees when you read the Bible and say, oh, God, thank you. Hebrews 12, verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. Okay, he's talking about the mountain that Moses used to go on. Everybody's afraid to even look, go near it. Darkness, gloom, and storm. To a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken. Oh, no, no. Because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I'm trembling with fear. Then there's this big, huge but. But you have come to Mount Zion, to heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. Did you get that?
Yes.
Did you get the tense there? You have come.
Yeah.
You have come.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. I think it's Paul, but most people don't. But it's the same language. Paul says you're already there. He says you have come to Mount Zion, to heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. You're made perfect already in Christ.
Thank you, God.
To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Yeah.
Blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Okay? Everything. And we're declared righteous. And that's how we get to heaven. Because of his blood, not our own.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the promise. There's a city waiting. There's a land waiting for us that we're going to if we put our faith in Christ. All we have to do is believe and receive.
Good.
If you work for it, you've missed the gospel of grace. Mm-hmm. And then just to put a capstone on all this stuff, here's a description of Revelation 21. We get a picture of the land we're going to.
Yes.
Okay? I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21:10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me a holy city, Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God. Thank you, Lord. That's what's waiting for us. As Janice mentioned earlier, streets of gold. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Him who overcomes. You should look up that word overcome, because Jesus declares we're overcomers already. And it's just a prophetic word. You will overcome, and I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write his name on of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. I will also write on him my new name. Okay, there's a name written on you. If you read the book of of Revelation, there's two names. And one, the names of the those who follow Satan, they have a name on their forehead, but we have a name written on ours. I don't know what the name is. Sealed, delivered, set free, blood applied, whatever it is.
Princess.
Maybe mine.
Yeah.
This one's
yeah.
mine.
Yeah, that's good.
Ephesians 1:13. You were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Incredible truth, friend. Incredible truth. Exactly. This is the gospel right here. Okay? He defeated our enemies on the cross. Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15 is a phenomenal passage. He disarmed the principalities and powers in your life that want to keep you in bondage. He disarmed, he defeated the enemies. And he gave you rest. Okay? There's rest right now. You can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You don't have to strive to get to heaven. You just have to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you already paved the way. I'm already on my way there. You sealed me with your Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not born again. You're not saved. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee, according to Scripture, Ephesians 1:13 and 14, that you are heaven bound. Okay? The Holy Spirit is a gift. Another scripture. The gifts are irrevocable.
Yeah.
He doesn't take them away. Wrestle with that. So the Lord gave Israel all the land, gave you rest, and he's got a great land prepared for us. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you in this land that I have given you, that I've won for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back and I'm going to take you to be where I am. Because I want to be with you. I want to be your God and I want you to be my people. And all you have to do, friends, is say yes and amen.
Right.
And here's the cap. 1 Corinthians, or what is it? 2 Corinthians 4. Every promise is yes and amen in Christ.
Amen.
Joshua wrote it right here. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed, all came to pass. Not one of the promises God has made in the New Testament to his saints whom he delivered will fail. Every single one will come to pass. Because he's God and his word never returns void. He is our God, the only wise God. He declared it and it shall be so. And that's the end of the sermon. I get so pumped up. I'm reading this and oh my goodness. It's so simple. It's just faith.
Yes,
Aaron.
The Lord just reminded me of a teaching he gave to me, so I think I need to share it. We can receive a free gift, but sometimes we think that there's strings attached. Like we have to pay it back or deserve it or earn it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing he taught me is that there's no strings attached. You can receive his gift, but still work for it to pay it back. And you can never pay it back.
Right.
When he says, you will obey me, he's not saying, you will obey me. He's saying, you will obey me. Your desires will change.
Right.
Your wants will change. You will naturally obey him.
That's
you
right.
cannot pay it back.
Right. That's good.
It is technically, but it's not a master-slave relationship.
That's right.
It's a love relationship. God is love, and he loves us so much he gave us Jesus. And when we get that in our spirit, it becomes a joy to serve him and live for him. It's not burdensome. His commands are not burdensome.
Right.
If you love me, you will obey my commands. It's a love relationship. Okay? So if you're struggling here, if you're struggling and you're beating yourself up, I got to try, you need to just fall in love with Jesus. And you need to allow him, as Romans 5:5 says, to pour his love into your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We need to receive the love of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay? And realize how much he loves us. His love is not dependent on what we do.
Right.
It's dependent on what was done at Calvary.
Amen.
It's already done. God loves the world so much, he gave his only son. He gave him for you. Friends, it's grace. It's all grace. And I just encourage you, let this message sink in. If you want the notes, I'll gladly send them to you. But what a great promise. All the way back. And he showed this to Abraham. Genesis chapter 13 and 15 and 17. It's just, this is the gospel from the beginning to the end. It's the message of salvation and salvation from beginning to end. You're saved from your sins. You'll be saved from this world. Because he's taking you to a new world. It's a great gospel. I don't know what else to say, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. We just receive all the truth of your word. Yes. We allow it to go into our heart and transform us. And Lord, we want the joy of our salvation to be our strength, Lord. We want joy to lead us, love to lead us. And both of those are found in you. Mm-hmm. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and fill us up, I pray. Take away the condemnation. Take away the striving.
Yes.
May we realize everything that we're chasing, you have already bought for us.
Yes.
We give you glory and praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all said,
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.